character in the story is Ahab. You might be more familiar with him. In 1 Kings 16, it describes Ahab as the son of Omri. He reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. Verse 31 of that chapter of 1 Kings 16, he takes Jezebel to be his wife. Ahab and Jezebel might be familiar names to you. In 1 Kings 21, another familiar story about Ahab and Jezebel is they wanted Naboth's vineyard that was right outside the gate, even though he had all the other vineyards in the territory, so to speak. He says, oh, I don't have Naboth, and that kind of upset him, so Jezebel arranged for a false accusation to be made against Naboth and in order to take the vineyard. And so the false accusation held up and Naboth was stoned to death. Well, in that story in 1 Kings 21, in the beginning of verse 17, Elijah the prophet prophesies to Ahab because of what he and Jezebel did to Naboth. And Elijah said, Ahab, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick your blood, even yours. Well, in our story tonight, in 1 Kings 22, beginning of verse 34, the prophecy is fulfilled. It's interesting, too, and I didn't put this one in your notes, but I think I get to it a little farther down. But in 1 Kings 22, verse 8, it says, Ahab, and the phrase is, hated Micaiah because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. So, Ahab didn't like the preacher because of the content of his message. So that's Ahab. Then you have Jehoshaphat. Now, Ahab is over Israel, the northern kingdom. Number three in your notes, Jehoshaphat, also in this story, he's king of Judah, the southern kingdom in the divided kingdom. In verse 4 of our text of 1 Kings chapter 22, Ahab asked Jehoshaphat to join him in battle against Syria. So Ahab in the northern kingdom looks down at the southern kingdom. Jehoshaphat, would you join me? We're going to form an alliance. I want to go capture Ramoth-Gilead that Syria captured a long time ago. So let's form an alliance and go to battle against Syria. So that's your next one, your note to Syria. Oh, by the way, Jehoshaphat in verses 42 and 43, he reigned 25 years, and he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. And then Syria, when we retell this story, that's the nation on Israel's northern border, and Ben-Hadad is the ruler. You may have heard that name in your Bible studies somewhere along the line. And number five, the last one I have is Ramoth-Gilead. It's the city of Ramoth in Gilead, but it's called Ramoth-Gilead. One of the cities of refuge appointed by Moses back in Deuteronomy chapter 4. If you read that story, there were three cities of refuge that God authorized on the east of the River Jordan and three cities on the west. And if someone had killed somebody without intention or deliberately, they could flee to this city of refuge and then nobody could take their life. And then they could stay there till the priest dies and they could leave the city. So Ramoth-Gilead is one of those cities of refuge. That's just an aside, by the way. That nothing to do with the story. So then in 1 Kings 22, verse 3, evidently Ramoth-Gilead had fallen to Syria during the invasion or the division of the kingdom, and now Ahab, who is in the northern kingdom, wants it back. So in verse 4, he says, Jehoshaphat, would you help me and let you and me together battle Syria so that I can have that city back. So that's the background of the story. So the setting continues in number 2 in your notes. And now they get to the actual story in 1 Kings 22. If you open your Bibles, you're very welcome to follow along. I'm not going to read all 44 chapters. But as I'm retelling the story, you can certainly read a verse or two before the verse I'm keying on to the verse afterwards and kind of fill in the blanks of the story. But here's the background of the story. First of all, Ahab makes a request to have Jehoshaphat join him in battle. And in verse 5, Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. So Jehoshaphat says, I'm not sure, Ahab. Let's ask God. I'm not sure I want to form an alliance. I'm not sure I want to go to battle with you against Syria. Let's ask God. So, in verse 6, Ahab anticipated, perhaps, the response of Jehoshaphat. So what Ahab does, he gathers together 400 of his own prophets, and he asks them the specific question, 400 prophets or 400 of my prophets, shall we go against Ramoth in Gilead to battle? Shall we do that? So he inquired of his 400 prophets. They said, yes, let's go battle. Well, they're probably Ahab's yes men. Meaning they would say probably whatever the king wanted to hear. And note, too, also, they not only said, go up. They were, let's go battle. But they added that they spoke for the Lord. The rest of the phrase, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hands of the king. Interesting. They made their conviction sound like, oh, God's behind us. We're on God's side. We're 400 prophets. So we'll tell you that. Let's go. You know, there will always, I've kind of put in your notes, there will always be people to speak what you want to hear. There will always be a preacher or a prophet, somebody, that will preach what you want to hear. Paul said that too. 2 Timothy 4, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. There is a sound doctrine. Paul continued, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned to fables. Isaiah had a congregation too that was like what Paul had written to Timothy, and kind of what Ahab is having here with his 400 prophets. But Isaiah had a congregation that were a rebellious people. They didn't want to hear the law of the Lord. And so the people in Isaiah's congregation said to the prophets, in Isaiah 30, verse 9, prophesy not unto us right things. Wow. Speak unto us smooth things. My, my. Can you imagine? In other words, Isaiah, or to the prophets, we don't want to hear sound doctrine. Give us a lovely sermon? In other words, could you give us kind of like that, the prosperity gospel? Could you just preach smooth things to us? Jude verse 4 gives a warning. I put Jude in your notes. Yes. Jude verse 4 warned there are certain men crept in unawares. Jude is saying false prophets don't proceed under their true colors. In other words, they're not easily identified, especially at the start. They're not going to come in with a red suit and a pitchfork and horns and a tail. But rather, Jude says, they're going to creep in. Stealth. Under the radar, so to speak. Well, that's kind of what I think of Ahab's 400 prophets. What do you want to hear, Ahab? Because that's what we're going to say. Otherwise, you might take my life. So Ahab's prophet delivered their message. And in verse 7, the story continues. Remember, Ahab wants Jehoshaphat, you know, come join me in battle. Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet of the Lord besides? In other words, I've heard from the 400. I want to hear from another. Is there not a prophet of the Lord besides that we may inquire of him? That's interesting. He just heard from 400 prophets. Why would he want to hear from one more? I don't know. It's not in the text. But he just ate Jehoshaphat's response. No doubt, perhaps, I'm thinking Jehoshaphat knew these 400 were more loyal to Ahab than they were to God. Ahab says in verse 8, the story continues. Ahab says, oh, there's one, Micaiah, but I hate him. Ahab, why do you hate Micaiah? Because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. But he listens to Jehoshaphat. And so Ahab, in verse 9, called an officer and said, hasten here, Micaiah, the son of Imlah. I guess that's how you determine whether one's a good preacher or not. You prophesy good. According to Ahab's definition, Ahab thought Micaiah was not a good prophet, a good preacher. He's not prophesying good things to me. So now we have the confrontation. That's the setting for the story. Now here's what happens now. So Ahab has sent this messenger. Jehoshaphat wants to hear from one more prophet, so he says, oh, it's Micaiah. So Ahab sends a messenger to go get Micaiah. The messenger goes to get Micaiah, and obviously Micaiah is not included in 400 of Ahab's prophets. He wasn't a member of Ahab's ministerial alliance, the inner circle. The messenger, when he gets there, you read the story and you think, he must have felt like he was going to do Micaiah a favor, because when he gets to Micaiah, he informs him of what the 400 other prophets already decided in the king's presence. Messenger gets to Micaiah and says, oh, let me tell you what we already decided. First Kings 22, verse 13. It says, behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Ooh, they're all in it together. All 400. Then he implores Micaiah. Says, let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of them, and speak that which is good. Here's Micaiah's reply. And that's, like I say, this is probably one of the highlights or high points of Scripture. Micaiah's response. So now we have two kings, one king Ahab and 400 prophets. Well, two kings, Jehoshaphat and Ahab, and 400 prophets waiting to hear from Micaiah. Micaiah doesn't tremble. He's not timid about doing the right thing or saying the right thing. Verse 14. As the Lord lives, what the Lord said to me, that will I speak. There you have it. He doesn't promise to be for or against the king. What he does promise is that he'll be for the Lord. I'm on God's side. I will tell you what God wants you to hear. I'll give you God's message. I'm not going to repeat what the 400 prophets said. I'll tell you what God said. Powerful conclusion. Okay, amen. See, Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, to preach the word. We preach the word. Not what's popular in religion. Not what the current fad is. We preach the word. Not what the majority wants. Even if there's 400 with one voice, we preach the word. Lesson last Sunday morning, Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of that. The power of God to salvation. To all that believe, you first and also to read. So now the messenger has gone to get Micaiah, informed him of the decision that's already been made back at the house. Now Micaiah, he stands before King Ahab. In verse 15, the king said to him, Micaiah, direct question, shall we go against Ramoth in Gilead to battle? Serious answers in verse 17. I didn't put verse 16 in there. It seems like in verse 16, it's kind of a mockery that the first response to Micaiah, Ahab, go battle. I don't know how he said it, or there was a smirk on his face, or, oh yeah, yeah, go ahead. And Ahab says, I don't think that's the truth. Oh, he said so many words. What's the real answer, Micaiah? So that's in verse 17, the serious answer. Verse 17, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills, as a sheep that have not a shepherd. Now, Ahab understood the message that Micaiah just gave in reply to Jehoshaphat. So Ahab says to Jehoshaphat, you know, as Micaiah comes, says in verse 17, I saw Israel scattered, and there are sheep without a shepherd. So Ahab says to Jehoshaphat in verse 18, didn't I tell you that he would prophesy no good concerning me, but evil? In other words, Ahab wanted to hear what he wanted to hear. You get that message? Ahab wanted to hear what he wanted to hear. Even though Jehoshaphat is that one lone prophet, told him, you go to battle, you're going to lose. You go to battle, and you'll die. Your people will be scattered. Oh, Jehoshaphat, I told you he wouldn't prophesy good. Tell me that I want what I want to hear. Let's go to battle. No, you just... So now you have number four, Ahab's decision after the council. He went to battle against Ramoth-Gilead. However, remembering Micaiah's words, it's interesting in verse 30, you have to kind of skip a few verses and catch the story, and I'm going to pick it up at verse 30. He decides to disguise himself in battle. They won't know who I am. Usually in battle, you know, you go after the leader in that culture, in that era. You know, you strike the head of the opposition. So Ahab says, I'm going to disguise myself in verse 30. Well, they're losing the battle. They thought they found Ahab, but it was Jehoshaphat. And they said, oh, that's not the one we're looking for. We're looking for Ahab, the Syrian said. So as he fought, and the Syrians are going to retreat, so the certain Syrian man in verse 34, a certain Syrian man shot an arrow into the air, and it says, King James used the word, at a venture. Ah, well, we're retreating. I'll just turn my bow and arrow back towards the enemy while we're kind of departing, separating our ways. At a venture. And it pierced the joints of the armor worn by Ahab in verse 34. Oh, wait a minute, that was the prophecy, wasn't it? Elijah said that. Ahab, because you took Naboth's vineyard, you and Jezebel. So Ahab is propped up in the chariot as he's leaving the battleground, but he dies. And in 1 Kings verse chapter 22, verse 35, when they get back to camp, they're going to wash out the chariot. The blood ran out of the wound into the midst of the chariot, in verse 35. But then back home in verse 38, rather, in verse 38, and one, meaning someone, washed the chariot in the pool of Samaria. And the dogs licked up his blood, and they washed his armor according to the word of the Lord which he spake. So the application. Why tell this story? One chapter in the Bible. One chapter. 44 verses or so. I think one lesson is Micaiah was not afraid to speak the word of the Lord, even when it was not what the majority wanted to hear. We don't want to hear what Micaiah is preaching. It's truth, though. If you're not preaching truth, then I don't want to hear it either. The messenger wanted him to go along with the 400. Micaiah said, what the Lord said to me, that will I speak. He wasn't afraid to be the lone voice standing for the truth of God's word. Not afraid to be the lone voice, the minority, to stand for the truth of God's word. That's one lesson. Also, I think it's foolish to move ahead with plans that are contrary to God's word. Ahab did that. Micaiah said, you go to war and you're going to be scattered. You're going to lose. I hear you, but you've never told me anything good, so I'm going anyway. Oh, my. Went contrary to God's word. So I just put the last one. Just dare to be different when the difference matters. Dare to be different. well-known story, except about maybe Ahab's demise. We've always heard about that one. But the words of Micaiah, what the Lord said to me, that will I speak. You can't go wrong. And we've supported various preachers over the years. A couple of Kip Adams, decades ago, went to one of our preaching schools, supports him. And Ted Hart supported him when he went to preaching school. And I remember Ted, after graduating, he came back and he said, "Brian, any words of wisdom as I launch out?" I said, "Yeah, I'll tell you one thing. What Paul told Timothy, you preach the word. You can't go wrong with that." Well, sometimes the brethren won't like what you have to say. They want to hear smooth things. But Jim said, you preach the word. Preach the word. That's the word. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of invitation, song of exhortation. Maybe someone here this evening is not a member of the New Testament church. We're going to preach the word. So that you know exactly what to do. Well, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing. Hearing the word of God. Paul asked a question in Romans chapter 10. How can they believe in someone they haven't heard? Right. So we know we have to preach. You have to hear that message. You have to believe it. Jesus said in John 8:24. If you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. Jesus also said in Luke 13, verse 3, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you'll perish. So we know you have to hear. You have to believe that biblical message, the word of God, and repent. And also in Romans chapter 10, with the mouth, confession is made toward or unto salvation. So you need to confess your faith that you believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. And you need to be baptized, number 5, in that plan or that recipe, that mix. You need to be baptized for remission of sins. Receive the gift of God's Spirit. From that point on, begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the word of the Lord.